The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, or gender. Thanks for being a consenting adult, and here we go.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from experimental storyteller Katie Jane. Do you have your tickets yet for the next Body Storytelling live stream? This is going to be a great one. We have the incredible Milena Williams-Haas, who is nominated for Best and wins Best of Body Storytelling every single time. We also have porn producer and legend, Mr. Pam. We have Canadian Chanteuse, Shirley Gnome, and so much more. This one's going to be really special because on Saturday, May 15th, we're celebrating my birthday. My birthday shows tend to be a little over the top. So I really want you to be there for my last ever quarantine birthday. Saturday, May 15th, show starts at 7 p.m. Pacific, and there's a link to tickets in the show notes. Please don't wait to the last possible minute. Get your tickets early. I'm an event producer for a living. Taking my anxiety down is so important right now, and that's the best birthday present ever. I'll see you on the live stream. How's your week going? I've found myself starting to slide back down into the sads. I was on top of the world, vaccinated, but now I'm in that place where I realize that the world has not come back, and I'm still waiting, and that waiting is really hard. So it's given me what I call the weird sads. But I was looking at my email yesterday, and I came across an email that I had never seen before, and I'd like to share it with you. I don't really do trigger warnings so much, but just brace yourselves a little bit, okay? Hi, my name is Jennifer. I live in Portland, Oregon. I recently went on a road trip and listened to hours and hours of your podcast. I just turned 19 years old, and I've had a crazy sex life. But it stopped after I was beaten and raped. Your podcast made me laugh for the first time in a long time, and I felt more comfortable with the things that I've done and things that have happened to me. Your stories have made a huge difference in my life. I've always wanted to be a writer, and now I'm writing again. After listening to the Body Podcast, I was able to not care about what people thought about me because I realized there are people out there for me to meet who would care. Now I feel more comfortable to try new things with new people. Thank you, Dixie. You know, when you beat yourself up a lot, telling yourself you're not doing enough, you're in your house, you should be out there trying harder. I tell myself a lot during the pandemic, I should be trying harder. And then you stumble upon something that was written like a year ago at the perfect time, the time that reminds you why you do what you do. And while I feel like I should be in person hearing these stories, that I should be connecting with people, this distance is making me really be excited about the world coming back. I often think when it gets to be too much and I get tired, I don't know how often it happens, but it'll be the end of a show and I'll have a crowd of people around me who have had three or four cocktails and want to tell me stories, and they kind of come at me hard, and off in the distance I see someone standing there waiting patiently, and I can tell from their face that this is a person like the email I just got from Jennifer. They didn't know that it was okay to talk about these things. They didn't know that they were not alone. And it was their first time listening to other people tell stories that felt like their story. And I can't have it in person just yet. And it has been a long time since I've seen that person standing off to the side waiting. But it's going to happen again soon. And I'm getting really excited for it. I'm going to be able to see on their face that they have a story to tell me. And that they've realized how important it is. And we're going to come together really soon in person. And we're going to have a chance to tell our stories, whether we're on the stage telling them or in the audience sharing them with other people. Y'all, it's coming back. And that's going to be happening in person, not on the internet, in person. It'll still happen on the internet, but in person. I miss faces so much. I miss those stories. And I just keep telling myself, hang in there, because we're going to be together soon. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by UberLube. Have you been the victim of lube shaming? Whether it's society or that main inner voice, there is still a sense of shame, particularly among women, when it comes to lube. Lube is a crucial factor in a sexual equation, whether it's for sex with a partner or when masturbating, because many of us are afraid of being labeled not into it enough or even sexually deficient if we need or want to use lube during sex. I love lube. I have always carried it with me to parties in my ditty bag, and since you asked, the one I recommend is UberLube. It leaves you better than it found you because it's just silicone with a little vitamin E. There's no flavor or scent, it's body safe, and it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. I will admit I'm pretty free-handed with my advice about the best lube out there, and you know, everyone I've introduced to UberLube raves about it too. I want you to have better sex, because lube does that, you know. So here's some incentive. Right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at UberLube.com. UberLube offers you the long-lasting performance you want. It quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. And remember, you get 10% off and free shipping when you use the code Dixie at UberLube.com. This has been Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by UberLube. It's time for a story. So let me introduce you to this week's storyteller. Katie Jane decided to begin her third fresh start in the Bay Area almost 5 years ago. She is loving every minute of having adventures and getting to tell those interesting stories. Katie wrote me a few days after she told this story on my stage, and she said, "I'm still riding the high from that show. I'm so grateful I got to participate in Body Storytelling. The whole experience completely changed my perspective of what I'm capable of. I doubt you've seen the last of me, Dixie." Well, Katie, I'd love to have you on my stage again. Pitch me another story, will you? Here you go. First time on stage. This storyteller is Katie Jane.
I should have ended it with Sammy when she told me my vagina was gross. And I should have ended it every morning that I woke up and made her coffee while she yelled at me at something trivial, like she didn't have enough socks to wear for the week. And I hated being with her, but I couldn't get out, because every time that I would try, she would threaten to kill herself. And I decided that I couldn't live with the guilt, and that I would rather be in a miserable relationship than live with that kind of blood on my hands. So I decided, you know, maybe I'm going about this all wrong. maybe the best way to get over her is to get over under someone else, because she had admitted, on top of everything else, that she had cheated on me with two different guys. And the fact that she had cheated didn't really bother me as much that she had lied about it. She had lied about the fact that they were men, lied about the fact that it had happened at all, lied about the number, and then I started thinking about all the other things she could have lied about, and why somebody could fuck with my head like that just blew my mind. I did not have any kind of reference for that. So I decided, you know what? Maybe I should start some experimentation and, you know, see what all these straight girls were raving about. Because to me, that was the key to this whole thing. So I decided to go to a party. And at this party, I met this guy named Lewis. And we passed around a bottle of Jack Daniels and quoted Shakespeare to each other, like you do. And he was balding and ex-military physique, you know, he was just kind of sort of starting to go physically. And we made out in the line to the bathroom, and I asked him to take me home to his two-story townhouse in suburbia hell with his two cats. And at 3 a.m, we smoked a bowl, and at 3:12, I rolled on a condom, and he put his cock inside me, and that was the first time that I was ever with a guy. But I didn't tell him that. You know, I lied, of course. And, you know, I was like, huh, well, that's what this feels like in flesh and blood. It's not really all that different from everything else that's been inside there. You know, like fingers and whatever, and childhood experiments and masturbation. But it was just attached to this person, and I remember looking up at his face, and his eyes were closed, and his mouth was open, and I realized that he did not give a fuck who I was, and he didn't give a fuck about all the things that were happening in my life, and he didn't give a fuck that I was self-conscious. He just cared that I was a warm, wet hole, and that he was going to get an orgasm at the end of it. And I didn't care that my phone was blowing up in my pocket, you know, 3 feet away, and that I would go back to 10 angry voicemails telling me what a shitty person I was, that I should kill myself, and that if and when Sammy killed herself, that when her friends found out, that it would be my fault, and that all her friends would know, because that was what it was. But I didn't care about that. All that was in my head was white noise, and I disconnected and unplugged. And after it was over, I felt more relaxed and in control and better than I had in months. And I discovered that I really liked that feeling. I really liked feeling numb and disconnected and not caring about all the other shit that was going on. And a couple days later, after a particularly bad fight with Sammy, I went out again, and I went to some bar, and I picked up some guy, and I took him back to my car, and I let him fuck me. And I felt the same thing. I felt in control, and numb, and all of the things that I wanted to feel. And I did it again, and again, and it was starting to feel compulsive. And then there was Mike. And Mike tried to be nice, which was bad for him. Because he was behind me, and he was fucking me in this really, like, wishy-washy kind of a way. And he leaned over, and he whispered in my ear, "You're beautiful." And that ruined everything. It ruined everything. Because you know what? He was there to fuck me and be quiet, and I was there to disconnect, and he ruined everything. And I went back into my body from the disconnected place, and my pussy tensed up, and he went out and couldn't get it back in. And I was angry. I was so angry at him for doing that. And I got up in a fury and threw on my clothes, and I yelled at him. I was yelling at him about what a piece of shit he was and how I shouldn't have been there in the first place. And then he got up and tried to plead with me and tried to be really nice about it. And then I just clotheslined him onto the bed. And he tried and just left, slammed the door. So then after that, it was harder for me to get to the disconnected place. It was hard for me to unplug, but I kept at it because I needed to feel numb, and I needed to feel that just glorious emptiness. And then there was Jake, finally. And Jake, when my legs were up over his shoulders and he was thrusting into me, he put his hand around my throat and he squeezed and everything went black and my eyes rolled back in my head and my body went limp. And I had the most intense orgasm I had ever had with anyone. And I felt like I wanted to throw up. I'm pretty sure I did throw up, actually, when I went back home. And I looked at a calendar and I realized that it had been 6 weeks. And I had counted, because math. And it had been 16 guys. And I hadn't gotten my period yet. And I was like, holy shit, I have fucked this up really, really badly. I ran out of get out of this bad decision free cards like a really long time ago. And I was just freaking out. So I did what we all do in this day and age, which was to put a moratorium on going out and find sexual gratification and love from the safety and comfort of the internet. So I made myself a profile on OkCupid. And hunkered down and waited. I thought, you know what, at least with women, I don't have to worry about this shit. So, cut to 10 days later. I am sitting at a bar called St. Joe's in New Orleans, which is famous for its mojitos. And it's the first very cool night of the year, and I'm waiting on this gorgeous law student that I had met on OkCupid. And I was so excited and so nervous, and I got there on time. And I ordered a mojito, and I drank it in like 10 minutes. But she wasn't there. She didn't show up. And I was so afraid that she had looked in my profile pictures, and she went, eh, I'll pass. And so I was sitting there and waiting, and as my heart began to sink and I was prepared to feel devastated, in she walked. And let me tell you that her profile pictures did not do her justice. Because she looked like the leggy love child of Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde and Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct, with that same kind of like hungry face, you know? And so she was wearing these cut-off denim shorts and this ribbed white tank top and a plaid shirt over it. And I don't know how anybody floats in flip-flops, but she totally just floated over to me and smiled and glowed, and she slid down into the seat next to me. And she pulled out her pack of American Spirits, and she asked me if I wanted a cigarette. And I said, uh-huh. Because I was really trying to quit at the time. And I was really putting in a solid effort, but I was like, you know what? I will totally retake up that dirty habit for you. Absolutely. So we sat at the bar, and we chain-smoked, and we drank, and she was matching me drink for drink, and we were keeping up with each other's banter, and it was great. And as the bar got more crowded, we got closer and closer together, and we started talking about more intimate things. We started talking about our hopes and our fears and the future and our past relationships. And at some point, she took my hand, and she said, you know, it's gotten kind of loud in here. We should probably go to my place. And I was like, uh-huh. Let's do that. 30 minutes later, I'm pinned to the wall of her bedroom underneath the permanent Christmas lights. And there are two untouched glasses of wine on her bedside table. And her hands are all over me, her strong, confident hands. And her lips are at my neck and we're making out and my hands are all over her. And I feel her unbuckling my belt and unzipping my jeans and reaching in, but I stop her. I stop her because all of the alarm bells are going off in my head, because guess what decided to show up the day before this date? And yes, exactly. So the thing that I was worried about, my period, showed up, and I was so relieved. And the thing that I was totally relieved was ironically totally cock-blocking me right now. And I, not only that, but I was wearing this giant pad, so as she reached in, there was sort of this, like, crinkle of shame in my crotchal region. And it just, I felt like it echoed through the room. And I said, you know, Chris, I really have some bad news for you. I don't know if this is a deal breaker, but I'm on my period. And she laughed, and she just kind of looked at me. She was so cool about it. She just goes, you know I've earned my red rings, right? And I was like, well, if it's not a deal breaker for you, it's not a deal breaker for me. And so then she told me to take off my clothes and get onto the bed, which I did, enthusiastically. And as she was doing that, she put down a towel. And then she stood at the foot of the bed, and she looked at me. And she looked at me the way that, like, a wild animal on one of those David Attenborough nature specials looks at a fresh kill. And I was so into it. She, like, crawled slowly between my legs, and she just was smiling the whole time. And the second her tongue touched my clit, I came like a fucking hurricane. And, like, I didn't remember the guy's name from, like, 2 weeks ago, and I certainly didn't remember mine. But at some point during this, she kept going and going and going. At some point, she looked up at me, smiling, with her face bloody, and I was like, observe the lesbian with a fresh kill. And she was so into it. And we kept switching around in this, like, swirling vortex of sexual energy. Like, she was inside of me and I was inside of her, and I was going down on her, and she was like, we were 69ing all of a sudden. And then there was one moment where she was sitting on my face, and she was rocking back and forth, and she was just about to come. And I realized that I was sucking the life force back into me, that it had reignited something inside me, that I realized exactly what I wanted. And this was it, that I didn't deserve to be treated like shit, that I didn't deserve to feel like less than desired. And this raw, unbridled feeling would guide me out of the dark place. And I would never settle for anything less.
Responds by singing, call, call, call. Come with me, lesbian seeker. Settle down and rest with me. Fly with me, lesbian seeker. To my little nest by the sea. Settle down and rest with me. As if to say, the day is done. It's time to find the shelter hidden in the dunes and fall asleep amidst the music of the loons. You and me, lesbian seeker, we'll just watch the world.
That was Lesbian Seagull by Engelbert Humperdinck. Are you ready for stronger orgasms? It is scientifically proven that a stronger pelvic floor can lead to stronger orgasms for vulva owners, and Intensity by Poor Ma gives you that strength. Intensity is a device that every cisgendered woman needs. It's a sexual health and stimulation device that tightens and tones your pelvic floor muscles and your vagina. With both internal and external vibration, it delivers a powerful orgasm. A lot of people might be tempted to call it a vibrator, but it's actually much, much more than that. Intensity is a trip to the gym for your pelvic floor. Most people know Kegel exercises are important, but Intensity does them better by automatically exercising the muscles of the pelvic floor for you. The natural processes of childbirth, aging, and high-impact exercises can take a toll on the health of the muscles that surround the vagina, causing them to stretch and lose tone and tightness over time. You can naturally rejuvenate your vagina by tightening and toning the pelvic floor muscles for more intense orgasms. Intensity lets you balance feeling good with working hard. Not only will Intensity teach you how a properly performed Kegel feels, it also has a vibrating component for your pleasure. And right now, Poor Ma is offering Body Storytelling Podcast listeners $25 off of Intensity when you go to poormoi.com and enter the code DIXIE at checkout. And you can combine discounts, so go to their website to save even more. That's $25 off when you go to PourMoi.com and be sure to use the promo code Dixie. Intensity's Poor Ma from In Control Medical. It's the one device that every vulva haver needs. It's Kegels with a kick. I would not be here today if it were not for my Patreon supporters. And I can tell you, big changes are coming soon to our Patreon. It's going to be bigger, better. We're going to have these brand new rewards. I can't talk about it yet. It makes me crazy because I want to talk about it, but I can't just yet. Just know great stuff is coming, and we are just a tiny, like five people away from my next goal. I want to celebrate with you. I want to give you great things. I want to give you behind the scenes stories and free live stream tickets and so much more. So if you go to patreon.com/body and support us at whatever level you can, it means I'm going to hit that goal. That makes me happy. And it means I'll see you on the next live stream. I'm going to give you ad-free podcast episodes. All of those things and more are coming your way. That's patreon.com/body, and thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time this week. But before I go, can I ask a huge favor? Could you go to wherever you listen to this podcast and write a review for us? Your written words make a huge difference. It bumps us up in the algorithm. Other people get to read what you say and decide that body storytelling is worth their time. And I get to read it. I get to know what you think. That would make me so happy. And before we go, I need to thank the team that make this possible. Thank you to Donal Mooney, to David Grossoff, to Joe Moore, to Mosa Maxwell-Smith, and most of all, to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been episode 172 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'll see you next week, pervert.